Thank you, Norman. Thank you, Kelly. There were some beautiful hymns this morning with lots of good gospel messages. Nice to be with you again this morning. I have a translator in the back room, and I was told to slow down, don't talk so fast. And one brother said that there probably will be two languages this morning. Well, I don't do a real good job on English, so there may be several languages. I came back from, I was speaking in Norton last week, and one lady told me I sounded like a Newfoundlander. I was up recently to the Gaspé speaking with the French people, and I don't know what they thought I was. So anyway, bear with me, and hopefully we'll be able to understand a few words this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask you, first of all, to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5 and verse 24, just a verse to start off with. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And my friends, this is how anyone in this building or anywhere else in the world gets saved. And you're either, this morning, you are either saved or you're not saved. You're either saved or not saved. We're going to look at, in a few moments, in Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at three people who Paul and the missionaries met in Acts chapter 16. But first of all, John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he walked down here on the earth, he is speaking these words. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that is the word of God, and believeth on him that sent me, that is God, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My friends, if you're not saved this morning, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are separated from God. If you are saved this morning, you have eternal life. God promises that, and he promises that right in this verse. You are passed from death unto life. If you listen to God's word, if you hear it, and you believe. See, God does not ask you to behave to get into God's heaven. He asked you to believe. And the moment that you start to believe, or you believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ says and what God says in the word of God, you will begin to behave. God does not ask you to behave first. He asks you to believe. Believe what? First of all, that you are a sinner. I had to believe way back in 1982 that I was a sinner. I had sinned against God. I had to believe what God said in the word of God, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, God so loved Brian Taylor, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, what? Believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, hath eternal life, shall not perish. My friends, that is salvation. If you're here this morning, I don't care what religion you are. If you're a Catholic, if you're whatever you are, a Protestant of any name, shape, or form, it doesn't matter. You will not get into heaven that way. The only way you'll get into heaven is believing on God's way, on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was Jesus Christ who paid the penalty for your sin. He paid for my sin when he died on Calvary's cross. And when we believe in him, in Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners, as we were singing this morning, he died for me. He paid the penalty of my sin. When we believe that, my friends, we have eternal life. Sincerely believe it and say, thank you, Lord. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, and I will receive it, and I will hold on to it, and that will take me home to heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Turn over now to Acts chapter 16. Here we see Paul the apostle and another, and a group of men, Timothy, Silas, and possibly Luke, the writer of this book, the writer of Luke's gospel and of Acts. Probably Luke was with them too. On his second missionary journey. And we want to see, if you read through this chapter and you looked for open things, you would see three things that were opened. First of all, you will see opened way. God opened the way for Paul and his group of people. Secondly, you will see opened heart. A woman of Thyatira, her heart was open. And my friend, if you're going to be saved this morning, your heart needs to be opened. And thirdly, open doors. The open doors of that prison. God came crashing into one man's life and he sent an earthquake and he opened the doors of that prison. And it's amazing to see that there was such an earthquake that it even shook the shackles and bonds from those men right off their arms and legs, but it did not crumble the roof or the building. Guess what? God is still in control. God is in control every day of every year, and he's in control today. We look at the world today, and we see the mess that it's in. We see the corruption. We see the filth. We see everything. But you know what? God is in control, and you'll see that in this chapter. God is still in control. We're going to read in at verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone, that is Paul and the other group of men with him, throughout Pergia, we're going to have some funny names here, names of cities back in those times, and the region, throughout region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There we see God in control. God is controlling even this great man called Paul the Apostle, who, as it were, he would say, well, listen, I should go here and preach the gospel. But this Holy Spirit came to him and said, no, I'm closing the door. I don't want you to go there now. God is in control. That doesn't mean that God didn't want those people to hear. It just wasn't then. And God is in control, even of your individual life and mine too, and an assembly as a whole. After they were come to Mysia, that's in verse 7, they essayed or planned to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not or did not allow them to go there. Another door closed. But look at this, it goes on. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There is the call, there is the door being opened. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord was sending them in a different direction. God was in control. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, or from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And look at verse 13. This is one of the reasons why the Lord sent him that way. And on the Sabbath, that is Saturday, that's when the Jews worshiped, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Remember we said about hearing, whose heart the Lord opened. There is being the heart that was opened because she had a desire to know more about him, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, evidence of her salvation, hospitality, and so on. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, or basically with a demon, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune telling, which we see even today. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now that was a true statement, but who was it that was saying it? And we need to be awful careful about that. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. That is, the wicked spirit or the demon came out of this woman. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto their rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes or tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, when receiving such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. There was the open doors. And every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? A tremendously important question. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say behave. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his immediately. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And we'll stop our reading there. I want you to notice that there's three people, and we already read the chapter, three people in this chapter, and we start with P. First of all, there was the purple seller, a businesswoman from Thyatira. Thyatira was a city known for its purple dye, come from seashells, from crustaceans. Purple dye, and they had textiles, and they had materials from this city. This was a lady who came to Greece, and she came to hear the word about the word of God. God had a plan. God is in control, and God will steer people in the right direction. First of all, we see the purple seller. Then we see the possessed slave, the woman who was possessed by a demon. And then thirdly, we see a prison supervisor, a prison supervisor. Those three people were in Paul and his cohort's ways. Paul and Silas, Timothy was there, and we see also probably Luke, Dr. Luke. So we see three people in this story. And each one, there is a purpose, if you will. There is a purpose. First of all, we look at the purple seller. In verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Now, she was not saved at the time, but she had a desire to know the Lord. And she worshipped, if you will, with the best of her ability, with the things that she knew, the knowledge that she had at that time, in a Jewish religion. But it says she worshipped God. She heard us. That is, Paul and the other two were there to preach the gospel. Whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart. That she attended, that is, after her heart was opened, she attended or she paid attention unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now I tell you three things that need to be opened, or four things that need to be opened before you can be saved. First of all, your eyes need to be opened. The scriptures need to be opened. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just read in this text that she heard Paul and Silas. She heard them with her ears, and her eyes were opened. Turn over for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We see here two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the Lord's resurrection, and we see some things, very interesting things happen. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs or 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and now they didn't know that he was going to be resurrected. All the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together or talked together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. My friends, if you're not saved this morning, you do not see, you do not understand the word of God. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were blinded to the gospel, to the truth. And until you have a desire to know about the Lord, you will be blinded. You will not understand. But their eyes were opened. Look over in verse 27. We see all kinds of open things in this scripture. And beginning at Moses, that is, the Lord Jesus now is beginning at the Moses. That's way back, the first 5 books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's in the Old Testament, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at food with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. What did he do first? He opened the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing. Lydia heard Paul speak the gospel. Opened scriptures, opened eyes. These people, if you went through this chapter, you would see, first of all, burdened hearts. They were sorrowful. They were dragging their feet. They didn't understand the scriptures. But after they heard the word of God, that says now there were believing hearts because the Lord was in their midst. They heard the word of God. It was proclaimed to them. It was expounded upon. So it went from burdened hearts to believing hearts. And then listen to what it says in verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? So they went from a burdened heart to a believing heart to a burning heart. My friends, that's what we need too. But also, this lady of Thyatira, first of all, the scriptures were opened. Open scriptures. Open scriptures that reveals Christ. Then it says in that verse 14, her heart was open. That receives Christ. That's where Christ comes in. That is not our heart, the physical heart, but that is our center of control, which includes our mind, our wills, and our emotion. That is our heart, our spiritual heart, our minds. That is our head, the way we think, and so on. Our wills, my friend, is a very important part. Our wills. We have to have a broken will before we'll say, I will follow you, Lord. Because most of us are on our own track. And we will say, I will not have this man to reign over us or over me. Isn't that what the Israelites said? Or the Jewish people said? We will not have this man to reign over us. That is Jesus Christ. My friends, when a will is broken, when you come to your senses like the prodigal son, you say, Lord, I will follow you. I will arise. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. My friends, that is when God can deal with you. That's when you can be saved. Open scriptures to reveal Christ. Open heart to receive Christ. And then it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we don't have time to go there, he opened their understanding. What is that for? Because after we're saved, we need to now what? We need to learn Christ and we need to obey. And what did it say? It said she attained onto the things which she heard. That is, she heard these things, her heart was open, and now she says, I'm going to obey it. And what did she do? The first thing after she was saved, it says she was baptized and all her house. First step of obedience, baptism, an outward showing of an inward work. She wanted the whole world and everyone now to know that she was a Christian, that she was identified with Christ. Are you saved this morning? Are you baptized? Are you proud to be a Christian? Because that's what this woman did. She had an open scriptures, open heart, open understanding. My friends, that's what it is to be saved. Is to be saved, to be happy, to know it, and want to show it to others around you. That's what this lady did. We go on quickly to the next person, the possessed slave in verse 16. Always after God is at work, what happens? Along comes the devil. He hates the gospel. Satan hates the gospel. Don't forget that. He wants to destroy. We think of Peter. He said to the Christians, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is just to the Christians, but you believe to those who are not saved. Satan does not want any person to hear the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And when you believe that, my friend, you are saved eternally, forever, a child of God. Satan hates the gospel. And so what happens? We see a possessed slave. Look in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. That is, Paul and the group of men kept going continually back to the waterside, to the riverside with these women and other people. Now some of them have been saved. They went there every day now to have prayer and to praise and so on. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by fortune telling. And listen to what she said. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And that was a true statement. But who was it coming from? It was coming someone possessed by a demon. Someone who was not saved. My friends, there's people today who are standing in pulpits who are not saved. And they're telling people some of the truth, telling some people none of the truth, and people are believing it. And that's what made Paul angry. And that's why he turned around and he said he cast a demon out of that woman. Why? Paul did not want either the gospel or the name of God to be promoted by one of Satan's slaves, so he cast out the demon. Why? After all, Satan may speak the truth one minute and the next minute tell a lie. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. See what Satan did there to the woman. Satan goes about as an angel of light. He is a deceiver. He is a father of what? Lies. Satan may tell you part of the truth. He may tell you some of the truth through other people. Satan uses people to try to destroy the work of the Lord. And they may be lovely people, but if they're not saved, if they're not possessed by the Spirit of God, but by another spirit, my friends, you are in danger. Extreme danger. And that's why Paul cast out this demon. After all, Satan may speak the truth one minute and the next minute tell a lie, and the unsaved world would not know the difference. Isn't that the way today of religion? They are told, yeah, we believe some of the Bible, but we don't believe it all. Or they'll come up with a new book of their own, a new religion, a new way. and people will believe it. And that's why Paul cast out the demon. No sooner are lost people saved than Satan begins to hinder the work of the Lord. And then we see these men. Paul cast out the demon. And now this woman, it doesn't say that she ever got saved, but now she was free of being demon-possessed, and now she was no good to her masters. No good to her masters. It said she brought them in much money or a fortune. But now she was not demon-possessed. She couldn't go around telling fortunes, and now she was no good to them. See, the men didn't care about this girl themselves, did they? What did they care about? Money. You read through the book of Acts and you see many places where money and ministry is a terrible mixture. We see in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, remember? They held back some. We think in Acts chapter 8, we think of Simon who wanted to buy. He saw the disciples laying on hands and he wanted some of that. He said, I'll give you money. Give me some of that power. Do you know what? We look at the world today and we see on TV and someone else, and one of them, most of these religious people got, they got their hand out, don't they? Give me some money. What's more important? And the world is full of that today. The conflict between money and ministry appears often in Acts and also in this world today. Paul and Silas, now we see, they were taken and beaten. Why? Because these two masters of this girl, because Paul cast out the demon, now they're upset. These were two Jewish men, so they brought them before the Roman magistrates. And they said, according to the law, they need to be whipped. They stirred up the people. They whipped them, and they threw them in the prison. And it says they took them into the inner prison and put their feet in stocks. That was a way of torture, because they used to have a couple of different ways they could put your feet in stocks, where you twist your legs and you'd be there all night in a dirty, filthy, old, stinking prison. But what happened to these two men, Paul and Silas? And I ask you, what would you have done after being whipped with rods or whatever they had and then thrown into a prison after preaching the gospel? It says they what? Look what it says in verse 25. And at midnight, the very darkest part of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners, what? They heard them. Here again, they sang praises. And they prayed. Do you suppose Paul was putting the gospel in there? You bet your boots he was. Guess who heard? The whole prison. This whole prison now came, as it were, was a gospel testimony. A place to preach. And Paul and Silas being whipped, now they were preaching the gospel full force. And guess what happened? God came crashing in with an earthquake, because he wanted to wake up some of these people, and namely one, the jailer himself, he wanted to wake him up. You know what? Sometimes God uses circumstances and he will come crashing into people's lives. What? To get their attention. The same God who made earth is able to shake earth. And my friends, we see earthquakes everywhere today. I wonder what's going on. And not only earthquakes. Think of all the past, even 5-10 years, what is happening. Things that people cannot believe. Is God trying to get people's attention? He most certainly is. Why is he trying to get their attention? Because they're lost and they're going to hell if they're not saved. And my friends, you're here this morning for a reason. You are hearing about the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you know it, my friends, this could be your last time. This jailer heard it that day. Not only the jailer, but all these other cronies, all these other criminals in this. And I would imagine there were some really bad cats. I would imagine there was murderers in there, because we see the jailer, he was going to commit suicide, wasn't he? And the Roman law was this, that if you were in charge and one of your prisoners escaped, you were dealt the same punishment as that person who escaped. And this jailer took a sword and he was going to kill himself. He would rather commit suicide than to stand in shame and be executed himself. God came crashing into this man's life. And we see the results. And again, we see those words, because we don't have a whole lot of time, but just to think a little bit about this man. This man, the prison supervisor, a man in charge. And we see his conversion. We think of his conversion. And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I mentioned before, the building didn't fall down. Was God in control? And yet there was such an earthquake that it shook the foundations and everybody's bands came right off their hands and off their feet. These men could have ran out scot-free. But how come they didn't? If you look at today, if the prison doors were open and these prisoners, murderers and everything else, extortioners, whatever you want to put in place, wouldn't they run out the door? But they didn't in this case. Why? Because you know what they heard? Then they heard Paul and Silas pray and sing praises unto the Lord. How many more of these men got saved that night too? We don't know. It doesn't say. But you know one thing? They had respect for these two men, these two Jewish men. After being beaten, they were singing praises unto God. And for that reason alone, and God was in control, none of them escaped, not one of them. And Paul stood up, and he was the spokesman, if you will, and he would say, verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wonder why? God was in control. These people heard the word of God. They heard the gospel. Then he, that is the jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This man was absolutely scared. My friends, that was an absolute sign of his confession, repentance. This man had all along been hearing Paul and Silas. I would imagine that Paul spoke directly to this jailer. In fact, I was going to say bet on it. I know he would. This man heard the gospel. And that's why people say, well, you know, he just said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just say, believe about Jesus Christ, the historical fact about him. He said, believe what Jesus Christ has done for you. And when the earthquake hit this prison and this prison jailer, when he saw what happened, it was a divine intervention, if you will. My friends, it struck him right to the heart. It says he trembled. The fear of God will do a lot of things, won't it? He had no hope in his life. He had to come to the very bottom, if you will, of the barrel. He came to himself like the prodigal son. It says, and when he came to himself, when there was absolutely nothing left, he was going to commit suicide. He asked what question? What must I do to be saved? How did he know what to ask? My friends, everybody in their heart of hearts knows what to ask when they get to that point. What must I do to be saved? First of all, you must know that you're lost, because you cannot be saved until you know, you realize that you're lost. And this man, at this point in his life, realized that he was lost. He had absolutely no hope in and of himself or anyone around him. And he said, what must I do to be saved, Paul and Silas? And what was their answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul didn't say, start behaving. He didn't say, start doing good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace is God giving to you something you do not deserve. That is eternal life. That is God's riches at Christ's expense. That is, Jesus Christ died in your place. We heard that this morning. He was our substitute. He paid the penalty of my sin. How do we get into that grace? For by grace are you saved? Through faith, through believing, through hearing the word of God, through opening your heart and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing. Believing what? First of all, I'm a sinner. I have absolutely nothing in and of myself to save me. Lord Jesus, will you save me? Why can the Lord Jesus Christ save you? Because he paid the penalty of your sin. He did what you can never do. He died on a cross. He shed his blood. That blood was without taint, without sin, and he covered your sins completely, forgiven forever the moment you believe what God says, believing it and receiving his forgiveness, receiving his gift to you and saying, Lord, thank you. I understand it. Open their understanding. Now I want to follow you. Why? Because I realize the tremendous cost that Jesus Christ paid for my sins to be forgiven. Thank you. And that's what God asks you and I to believe. That's what this jailer believed that day. And it says in all his house, and some people think because one person got saved, that means everyone else got saved. It says after, it says in this verse, listen. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. The other people in his house, his family, all those people heard the same thing as he heard, the gospel. And they received the gospel personally, one at a time, if you will. Personally, they received the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, the Jews, the head of the house, usually was somebody who was esteemed, somebody who was looked up to. And what that person did, most people also followed in line, or they said, if this guy did it, there must be something right in it. And that is good to a point. But because the jailer got saved, didn't mean that everyone else could be saved just because he got saved. They had to get saved the same way, by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened to them? It says they were baptized too. First of all, open scriptures. Paul preached the gospel, didn't he? He prayed. They heard the word of God. Their hearts were open. Their eyes were open. Their hearts were opened. And their understanding were open. And now he says, I want to be baptized. I want people to know that I am saved. Three people in this chapter. First of all, the purple seller who the Lord saved. We see the possessed slave who Satan brought in amongst God's work to try to destroy it. Then we see the prison supervisor who also was saved in all his house. My friends, the Lord steered Paul that way. Why? He closed the door here and he closed the door here, but he opened the door here. He said, Paul, I need you over here. I want this woman from Thyatira to be saved. I want this jailer to be saved and his family and her family. My friends, that was the beginning of another little assembly right in that area. The Lord is in control, not just in your life, my life, and everyone else who is a child of God. Are you saved this morning? Do you want to be controlled by the Lord? Or do you want to be like some people who drive around with a license plate, God is my co-pilot? God is nobody's co-pilot. He's either pilot or you're on your own. And my friends, I would rather have God to be my pilot and flying my plane, leading my life, than be on my own. How about you? That's your decision. God has made provision for every man, woman, and child. But as I speak, and as we know, time is running out. Because we look at the world today. Soon, the Lord is coming back. Remember he said about judgment in John chapter 5 and verse 24? The wrath of God, the judgment of God, that is going to come. It's not just going to be an earthquake. My friends, it's going to be a lot worse than that. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you truly saved? Have you believed that you are the sinner? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And have you sometime in your life said, Lord, I am the sinner. And today I want to be saved. And I believe that your Son, He died for my sins. He shed His precious blood, and His blood cleanses me from all my sin. How do I know that? John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We walk in the light as He is in the light. That is understanding, seeing with our eyes open. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that is God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Past, present, future, my friends, that is a promise, that's a guarantee. Are you saved this morning? Have you come into the good of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We pray that the Spirit of God would open hearts this morning, would open eyes, and that you would open the Scriptures, and that you would see in there the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to you, and that you would come to know Him as your own personal Savior. Let's close in prayer. Father,